Welcome to the Entrepreneurs Visiting Victor podcast with Victor Dadage, where you'll hear stories and strategies to help increase your sales and grow your business. Here's your host, Victor Dadage.
All right, welcome to Entrepreneurs Visiting Victor. I am your host, Victor Dadage, and I hope you're having an amazing day. Today we have an awesome guest. He is a visionary entrepreneur, Wall Street Journal best-selling author, and the driving force behind Franchise Maven. His journey from a seasoned microelectric circuit engineer to the CEO and founder of a thriving franchise empire is nothing short of inspiring. As the CEO and founder of Franchise Maven, he has been a guiding force for hundreds of individuals and business owners, helping them navigate the complex world of franchising. His track record speaks volumes. 260 people empowered to open 500 franchise territories under his guidance. So let's welcome Gregory Moore. How are you doing today, Greg?
Excellent, Victor. I appreciate you having me.
Oh, it's great to have you on. And I'd like to get started with you. So please share your story. How did you wind up becoming an entrepreneur?
Well, I would say the actual entrepreneurship started back when I was young. Actually, I had my own paper route, and I loved doing that. That was back in the day when, you know, we hand-delivered papers on the bike on that. I did that for a while. And then while I was in the corporate world, I also did some things on the side. I inspected some buildings and took pictures of buildings for different people once in a while on the side. And then I bought a couple of rental properties doing that. An engineer friend of mine and myself, we bought a dry cleaners, privately owned business, storage units. I was always looking to do something different, something other than my corporate job. And then as I was getting my master's degree in business, I already had an electrical engineering degree, but my master's degree in business, I read Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and that just about ruined my corporate career for me. So at that point in time, I realized, hey, you know, I was on the right track, and there actually is something better out there than doing that 9 to 5, or in my case, 7 to 5 every day. And I'd already been introduced to the world of franchising back in high school when I got a job at Taco Bell and actually worked for a master franchisor there. So I said, that franchising thing, I got to check that out. And so I got started there about 12 years ago or so. Yep. And haven't looked back since.
Okay. So pretty much you've always been entrepreneurial from your days as a little boy delivering papers, you know, doing that paper out. So, but then in the corporate, even when you were in the corporate world, by the way, how long were you in the corporate world before you decided to make the switch to franchising?
30 years.
30 years.
Okay, 15 years as a restaurant manager and 15 years as a microelectronic circuit engineer.
Got it. But even during that time, you were working in the corporate world. You were doing stuff on the side. You say you inspected buildings on the side. You bought a couple of properties. You bought some dry cleaners. So you're still doing this for a while. And then while you're getting MBA, you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Kiyosaki. And I definitely think it's a great book. And whoever has not read it, I highly recommend it. It will definitely change the way you look at things. So it's definitely a great book, and you decided to look at this franchising thing. So talk a little bit more about what happened when you got into the franchising.
Yeah, that was very interesting. So after leaving the corporate world and being there, you know, for 30 years, we all get kind of addicted to the paycheck on that on a regular basis. It's like, you know, really cool thing, get every couple of weeks on that. Plus the fact that you go into an environment where, you know, you've got your schedule set, and you work throughout the day, always work coming in, people talking to you. Now, you've stepped away from all of that. In my case, what I got was a telecommunications consulting franchise to begin with. So now I'm working just me. So I started off with just me on that one. And then I worked from home. So now I had to set my own schedule and go out and talk with business owners about their telecommunication needs. That is going from, you know, that controlled environment on a daily basis to now you're in your home environment, and now you got to set your own schedule. Big challenge, because there's so many distractions at home, so many different things you could do. So it probably took a couple months for me to really get my schedule down to where, you know, I wasn't, you know, at lunchtime, I was looking back and thinking, well, you know, how much work have I done on my business? Well, let me see, that was about 15, 20 minutes in the last, you know, this morning. It's like, I got to do something different. So I put together a schedule, a time-based schedule about, you know, this is how many people you need to call upon. This is, you know, learning more about telecommunications. This is about visiting with people, setting appointments. So I really had to put my schedule together. So I had a set schedule for doing that, and then set my My expectations of this is how many phone calls you make, this is how many people you're going to contact, this is how many schedules are you're going to or meetings you're going to schedule. So after I did all that, it really started to flow like clockwork, and I still could set my own schedule on that and decide when I want to do it. I just had to make certain that I did set a certain amount of time through the day to build that business.
Okay, very good. Thanks for sharing that. So basically, when you went to your telecom consulting franchise, and you're right, it's a big change because you went from a control environment because you know what to do throughout the day. Your boss says you got to do this, this, and this, and you know what to expect, and you get it done by the time the end of the workday, right? But when you're on your own, you have no one telling you what to do. You have a lot of freedom. It's a lot of distractions: computer, YouTube, radio, TV, all that stuff. So yeah, so. And you did something very smart. You set a time-based schedule. I'm going to have an hour for this, 2 hours for this, maybe 2 hours to call people up, 3 hours for meetings. And that's a great thing. So most people do not do it, which is one of the reasons why they don't get things done. They may say I'm busy, but they're not productive because they're busy doing things that are not going to help grow their business. Whereas it seems like you focus like, okay, these are the things that help me grow. I got to get clients, I got to get prospects, so I'm going to spend this amount of time doing that. And I'm sure that's made all the difference in the world to you. So how long did it take? Because everyone's different. Now you've been doing this, stuff on the side. How long did it take for you to start seeing results? Sometimes people start off brand new, and they think they're going to make $1 million in their first couple of months, and when they don't see your money come in, they get very disappointed because sometimes maybe they don't have realistic expectations because they're like, you know what? You've never done this before. You don't have the credibility. You don't know how to do it. Then it could take a little while before you start getting clients, people who trust in you. So talk a little bit about those. Also talk about, how soon it was before you started seeing results in your telecom franchise.
Well, when I first started, it probably took, I was trained pretty quickly. One good thing about the franchising system is they've got the systems of things for you to do. The franchise has got that playbook for you. So direct answer to your question, it probably took a good 2 months, 3 months for me to start bringing in money. This was a service-based franchise, so it was pretty easy that once you got started in it, you didn't have the brick and mortar or anything to build out, that you could start getting clients right away. But it probably took a good 2 or 3 months before I started seeing money coming in. And one another good thing about franchising is that you get to talk to different franchisees, so you find out from them how long it took. So I had kind of an expectations already because I talked to quite a few different franchisees to find out what they had to do so I could picture in my mind myself doing it, so that I knew that, yeah, that's something I can do, and then how long it took them. But for me, yep, 2 to 3 months for that one. And to actually build it up into a good strong business, probably within about the first years, I was bringing in a really decent income on that. So about a year, and then after that, it just took off from there.
Awesome, great. So now let's talk a little bit more about franchise. So, for those that are listening that might be interested in learning more about, what are some of the things to consider? What are the things you need to do in order to become a franchise owner, and what are the things you need to take into account to make the decision? What do you think franchising is for you?
First of all, the main thing that everybody has to be if they get into franchising is they have to be coachable, because those franchises have that playbook right there in front of you. You're never wondering what you do next, and you're going to have that coach with you on that. So as long as you're coachable, you're good to go. There are certain aspects of franchising where it depends on the franchise you get into. They'll have certain network requirements. They'll have certain liquid cash requirements on that one. So those are a couple of things to consider when you're getting in that, because nobody wants you to run out of money. Things for you to consider, though, is where have you been? So what do you have up in your head? What do you bring to the table on that? What's your experience at? So you want to get with a franchise system that is looking for people like you, looking for your experiences on there. So for instance, if you were like me, I was an engineer before that. The Sandler sales training franchise would probably not be right for you because you're teaching people how to do sales. And if you've never done sales before, that's probably not going to be a good fit for you. So you don't want to go down that route. So think about where have you been, what do you bring to the table, and which franchises are looking for people with your experience on that. And then think about what you want your day to be like. Do you enjoy having that a brick and mortar type franchise where you have a location and you have a place where you can go to? Is that the sort of thing that you like? Or would you rather have something where you have a small office, or whether you work from home on that? It doesn't matter which one you get into as far as how much time you put into it, because you can do semi-absentee in either one you want to, but it's more about thinking, what are you comfortable with as far as the type of business that you're getting into, more of a service industry where you're helping people with services, or more of a retail establishment where you like the fact that people come to you. So you build it, they will come. Basic thing on the retail type establishments. And that could be automotive, food, massages, what have you. In the service industry, that's where your clients don't know you exist until they need you. So we just need a good franchise to drive people to you when the need arises. But think about, what are you comfortable going with in that case on those. So those are a couple of good things to really, wrap your mind around and think about.
No, definitely. That's a lot of good things to think about. And I think sometimes people, when they get into franchise, they don't think about some of these things, especially like, if you don't have any experience in it, you may not want to do it. So you probably want to do something that has that more mirrors more the experience like you have. So if you're an engineer, and you have no sales and marketing experience, you probably don't want to maybe want to avoid the sales and marketing type of franchise. So I definitely think that makes a lot of sense. Next, I want to ask you about is talk about the trade-off between the time and monetary investment. Full time, semi-absentee, absentee. There's something, another thing for people to think about.
It is great. That's a great question, because it is definitely something you need to think about on there. So when I talk with people, and when you're going through looking at franchises, there is the amount of money you have, and then there's the amount of money you are comfortable, investing in a franchise. Each franchise is going to have certain requirements for you on that, so you don't run out of money. So you have to have a certain net worth. But what I ask people, what you need to think about is, what are you really comfortable investing in a franchise? Not what do you have to invest in a franchise. System itself on that one. And then as far as your time investment, you don't have to be full time. So you don't have to spend $1 million. You don't have to be a full time person there. There's semi-absentee franchises as well. So if you're an engineer and you want to get into a sales training franchise, well, then you're just going to have to hire somebody to do it for you, because obviously you don't have the skills. So that's where the semi-absentee comes in, is that you're building the business, or you have a manager do it for you. 10 to 15 hours a week is generally what you're looking at there on that one. But that's something that you need to, consider, is what amount of time do you really want to put into that franchise? Not only what you have, but what are you comfortable as far as the time investment goes. And there's probably four franchises I think I have out there that can be run completely passive, where they actually have a franchise team that runs it for you. It's a little higher of an investment, because they want you pick up more territories to make it economically feasible for you. But those are definitely some things to think about, is how much time you're comfortable investing and how much money you are comfortable investing as well.
That makes a lot of sense. You can figure out how much money you're comfortable investing, as well as the time you're comfortable investing. Then, if you want to do a little less time, and you have someone else manage it for you. It can make a lot of economic sense. And I can think of it like sometimes a rental property. You hire a property manager to manage these properties because you don't have the time to manage all these properties. So you hire a company to do it for you, and you're still getting the income. So that makes a lot of sense. Next thing I want to ask you, Greg, is we talked about the investors. So, what are some of the ways you can finance your franchise? Because I'm sure there are a lot of different ways, and some of them are more expensive. McDonald's, of course, everyone knows it's like at least $1 million, but there are a lot of other ones, that are a lot cheaper. So, what are some of the things, ways people can utilize to finance, getting a franchise?
Well, Victor, there's basically two different ways to go about getting into a franchise system itself. Use your money, use other people's money. I use my money when I got into my franchise system. So since I had left my employer, I had a 401k from a 401k plan from a previous employer. So what I did with that is I rolled it over into a self-directed 401k plan. That means that you can invest in any corporation you want. So you create your own C corporation. Moore's C Corporation is what mine was. Not a very original name, but it worked for me. And you can also do that with IRA. You do IRA self-directed one. We have people that can do that for you, so it's really not all that complicated. But now you're using your retirement money, which is definitely a personal decision one way or the other, but you're not going into debt when you're doing it that way. Many different advantages to it, but again, personal decision on that. If you want to use other people's money, which a lot of my investors really enjoy using other people's money on that, then would probably be taking a look at, just as an example, an SBA loan. If you're getting into the service industry, where most of those service industries total investment you're looking at between around 150, 200,000, 100,000, depending on if you need an office or if you work from home, you would get an SBA Express loan where you put down around $20,000, and then the SBA throws in another $150,000, $200,000, whatever you need on that. If you go for something that's a little bit more of a build out, say one of those brick and mortar places, and you're looking at around 20% down on that one. Very easy to get funding for people. I've got people that fund franchises all the time. The franchise has that proven track record of success, so that part is easy. What it really comes down to is just your credit rating, basically. As long as you've got good credit and you've got the net worth that is required for that franchise, which if you don't, the franchise isn't going to talk to you anyway. The SBA loans are a really good, easy way to do it. There's a couple other loans you can get, but those are just two examples of using your money or using other people's money for that.
No, and that makes a lot of sense. You get to use your money or use other people's money. You can use the SBA loans. Like you said, as long as you have pretty good credit rating, you're probably going to get it because, franchises usually have a really pretty good proven track record. And I guess that's one of the advantages going to a franchise because, like you said, sometimes you're trying to open up your own business, you don't know what you're doing. Whereas when you get into a franchise, they tell you what to do all throughout the process, so you don't have to worry about it. They're going to guide you, which is why a lot of these franchises, there's a high success rate, and the fail rate is much lower than, say, most other businesses. Would you say that's one of the biggest advantages of going into franchising?
It is, and you can check out that track record. I mean, it doesn't have to be something you have to take anybody's word for. You can look in, and you will be looking at that franchise disclosure document before it's all said and done. Inside that franchise disclosure document is going to be a list of the franchises who are currently running that system and a list of the franchises who started and are no longer running it. So it's pretty easy math to get a success rate, and you want to look for 85, 90% success rate or better.
And that makes a lot of sense, 85 to 90% success rate. So I'd like to ask you to talk a little bit more about, you mentioned earlier, you want to make sure you find a franchise that's more in tune with what some of your skills are. But could you talk a little bit more about, when you're investigating, when you want to, invest in a franchise, stuff like due diligence, the reviews, negotiations with contracts. Talk a little bit more about the process involved in, setting up your own, getting involved in a franchise.
Absolutely, but you don't necessarily need to go with what you're passionate about. You don't need to go with what your experience is as far as the industry goes, because most of the franchises, what they're looking for you to do is work on the business, not in the business. So you're going to hire other people to do it and build it up. So as you go through that process of investigating the franchise, what you're going to be looking for there is, does your skill set go with what they're looking for? So if you run a business within a business, say you're a manager of any corporation at all, you already have run a business within a business. So running a business is running a business. It's just simple. And now it's just a matter of which industry that you want to get into. If you don't know the industry, that's fine. Get to know the industry. Get to know where they make their money at, how that money is brought in, how they get their profit, and how sustainable is it over the years. So you want to make certain that it is sustainable. Don't look at things, don't necessarily look at things that are just a fad now, because they're a fad now, they may not be a fad later. If you got into Orange Theory, which was a big fad back then, you would have been doing just fine on that. It definitely skyrocketed. So that was a big one. However, how many other fitness franchises did pop up at the same time that did not work out? So you really got to kind of take a look at what they're doing, and is that business sustainable? As you're going through the process, then the franchisor is going to want to get to know you, franchise development people, you're going to want to get to know them. So as we indicated before, when you're looking at that success rate, that's a success rate of that franchise means that that franchise knows how to pick out people that match well with not only their culture, but with the background that they need. So you want to make certain they're picking out the right people, which means they're going to be interviewing you at the same time you're interviewing them on that. So make sure that that's a good fit, good cultural fit, good background fit. As you're going through the process, as we discussed with the franchise disclosure documents, you want to go through there. Check out the total investment, making certain it's in line with your finances and with what you're comfortable with. There'll be a lot of good information in there. There'll also be they usually collect the information on how much the franchisees are making, so you get a good idea of how much the franchisees are making on a regular basis. So as you're looking down the line, seeing what is that franchise going to do for me, is that franchise making the kind of money in general with the entire system that you're looking for? After you get through with all the franchise disclosure documents, you're going to be expected to call upon as many franchisees as possible for you to get a good feel for that business. That's where you're really going to get a lot of great information I've got a list of questions for franchisors and franchisees. Most people have a list of their own questions as well. You've got to gather the information you need to make that informed decision. So one of the biggest questions is going to be, of course, if you're investing that money, how much do I make and how soon am I going to get it? So you'll be asking the franchisees that. You'll be making friends with the franchisees as well. So not only is that franchisor going to help you build that business, franchisees are too. And ask them, how much did you make? How long did it take you to get there? And what did you have to do to get it? Picture in your mind, as you talk to some of the top franchisees, picture in your mind what they're doing. If you can picture in your mind yourself doing what they're doing, you know you're probably on the right track. If you can't, then maybe it's time to move on to another franchise or hire somebody to do what they're doing for you. Make sure you go through that due diligence process. Make sure you get a franchise attorney to look over your documents. On that, franchise attorney is essential to look over any documents before you sign anything on that, because they've looked at many different franchise agreements and franchise disclosure documents. They'll be able to tell if something is out of the ordinary or different, and they'll let you know. Their experience, that sort of thing. There's not a whole lot that can be changed in that because franchises want everybody on the same playing field. But if something's out of the ordinary, that franchise attorney will point that out. And the main thing, what I tell people that the franchise attorneys are doing is they are going to let you know what you're getting yourself into and making certain that you're okay with that.
No, very good. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff to go over, and yeah, because you're making a big investment, so talk to the franchise attorney, find out if everything's a good fit for you, culturally and everything else. Make sure it's sustainable and not a fad, because it's a fad, you could be throwing away a lot of money. And I like what you mentioned. Talk to the franchisees. You find out, how much you can make, how soon it will take to make that money. They'll give you a good idea. So yeah, do your due diligence, talk to all those people, and you'll get all that great info, really good stuff there. Now I want to ask, do you have any final thoughts to share about franchising for people to know that are listening, that might want to get involved, some other things they might want to know about, getting into a franchise?
Absolutely. You are not necessarily restricted. They're not going to tell you what to do every single day on that. You've still got a lot of leeway out there as far as the franchisee goes. They're going to have that playbook for you, that step-by-step playbook for you. So if you follow that playbook, do what they've done in the past, they've already made all the mistakes on that. So they've gotten all those out of the way. So they're showing you that path to success. So it'll help you become even more successful in that. So follow the playbook. But don't think that you're restricted. A lot of franchisees come up with new ideas on that on a regular basis. That's how the franchise system grows. Franchises are a good option to look at if you're an entrepreneur, you're looking to grow your net worth, you're looking to get out of your day job at some point in time, or just leave your day job right now. But franchises are not for everybody. So that's why you go through the due diligence process and making certain that it is. I won't tell you that franchises are the greatest thing since sliced bread, because for some people, they're not. And so that's why you do your due diligence process, go through getting to know that franchise as well as possible so that you can make an informed decision. But it's good to have options. Check them out, look them over. It's good to have options, then decide.
I like that. It's good to have options. Do your due diligence, look it over, do your investigations, find out if it's for you. For a lot of people, it's, but it's not exactly for everyone. So, and that's okay. But also good to know you have a lot of leeway. You're not restricting all the things you need to do. So another good thing for everyone to know if they decide to get into franchising. So listen, Greg, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a real pleasure. You shared a lot of great stuff, a lot of great tips, a lot of great wisdom. And I know the people that are listening definitely learned a lot. I know I did. And if people want to get in touch with you, what is the best way for them to contact you?
Go to my website, franchisemaven.com. That's franchise, M-A-V as in Victor, E-N.com. Email me at greg@franchisemaven.com or just pick up the phone and give me a call at 361-772-6401.
Awesome. Thanks again, Greg. Have yourself a great day.
You too, Victor. Appreciate you having me. It's been an honor.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you've enjoyed listening, please smash that subscribe button so you don't miss any of our amazing episodes. Please also leave a 5-star rating review and have an awesome day.